Paul Koinonia, through the loving and necessary rebuke we got from our pastor, through the heart of the elders that were sharing last Sunday, and I ask the Lord to help me clearly present that to you so that you can see it and understand it. And hopefully, we can all do this better. This Christian koinonia. This managing and encouraging one another to good works. So it's a big task. So we need help. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I acknowledge that we're before holy ground. Father, I pray that in our hearts, in our minds, we will humble before your word. We will take out the sandals of our feet and we'll be willing and ready to hear your word, to be encouraged and corrected by it, and to live according to it. Help me, Father, and help my brothers and sisters to hear your word. Amen. So, Philemon, a little bit of background. Maybe many are not familiar with the letter. The letter takes the name of the person who Paul writes the letter to. It's a man called Philemon. It is believed that he was a businessman from the city of Colossae. It is believed that Paul never visited Colossae. It has not been proven, but that's the belief. So the theory behind it is that while Paul was in Ephesus during his ministry there, Philemon, one of his business trips, came to Ephesus. And there he heard the good news, the message that Paul was preaching, that Paul was sharing, and came to the fellowship of the believers, came to faith in Christ. He believed the message. Also, is believed that the same happened with Epaphras, which was another man from the city of Colossae, which our brother Craig has already preached and responded to us. And is this Epaphras, just like Philemon, visiting Ephesus, learning about the gospel, coming to believe, coming to fellowship in the faith, going back to Colossae and preaching and sharing that message, that he gave birth to the church in Colossae. In the first chapter of Colossians, we read that it is through the labor of Epaphras that the church of the people in Colossae came to the knowledge of saving faith in Christ. In Philemon, we will read that the church meets at Philemon's house. So Philemon, believed to be a businessman with enough wealth that he's able to have a house that can host the gathering of the church, and also have a room, extra room, for visitors. Big enough house, sufficient wealth, that he can also have at least one slave to work in his household. Part of the background of this letter is that this one slave, named Onesimus, he fled, he's a runaway slave, And in the providence of the Lord, we don't know exactly where, but Paul, being in prison, is believed in Rome. Onesimus somehow came in contact with Paul, and Paul shared with him the same good news, the same message that he had shared with Philemon, his master, and with Epaphra, another member of the church in Colossae. And by this sharing of faith, Onesimus came to trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and therefore entering into the fellowship of believers. And it is in this interaction with Paul that Onesimus decides to go back to Colossae and seek reconciliation with his master Philemon. And that is the reason why Paul pens this letter. He's acting as an intermediary, appealing to Philemon to receive his slave Onesimus. Now, just a little note, it is believed that this was around 60-61 AD. And I found this interesting note that about the same time in Rome, there was a case where one slave killed his master. And the consequence of that choice was that all 400 of his slaves were put to death to send the message that slaves are not to behave that way. So here now we have, in the context of Rome at the time, society that the father or the man of the house has the power of life and death of his wife, children, and slave. A society that tells slaves that they must know their place. A society that will brand, flog, imprison, or kill runaway slaves. So that's kind of this, the cultural, the context of where we find ourselves as we read and study this letter. So I just wanted you to have that so you can feel the weight of Philemon receiving this letter and hearing the plea from Paul to forgive and to welcome him. Okay? So, Philemon, verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Or, you could read, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop there. Paul starts the letter with a different greeting. We normally start the letter, Paul, an apostle. But in this case, it's a personal letter. Paul starts the letter with the reality of where he finds himself. He finds himself in prison. And he makes it very clear to Philemon that he's in prison not because he disobeyed the Roman authorities, not because he broke any laws, but because his master, Christ Jesus, the King Jesus, have him there. Very important. Is laying that reality before Him. I am where I am because this is the lot my Master has given of me. This is what He is requiring, what He is asking of me at this time. And I'm here, and Timothy, our brother, is here, and you, Philemon, you are our beloved fellow worker. So, through this introduction and this greeting, this salutation, we learn that Philemon is also laboring in the advancement of the gospel, of the good news that he heard Paul preach to him. So he's a fellow worker. He's laboring in the work of the gospel. And he mentioned Apphia, our sister. It is believed that Apphia is Philemon's wife. And she's being addressed, being part of the household that needs to deal with the runaway slave. And he also mentions Archippus, which in Colossians we read that he is also a member, active member of that church. And Paul mentions here that he's a fellow soldier. So I just want you to hear this one more time. I'm going to make emphasis on two words. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker. They have something in common. They are working together. Even though Paul is in some other place, in prison, and Philemon is in Colossae, they are working together in the gospel. Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So you see, this family is very active, and they're active in the same business, if we can call it that way, that Paul is active. And that is the business of his kin, in the activity of the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. But then there is something interesting here. It says, and the church in your house. Why include the church? See, the letter is to be read to Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and the whole congregation, the whole church. Now, many believe that Paul is inviting the church to exert some kind of pressure into Philemon to do what is good, to do what is right, to do what he ought to do. When we read verse 4 through 7, I'm going to ask you the question, do you think this man needs this kind of pressure? See, I want you to see what kind of man he is. So I don't believe that the church is invited into the reading of this letter because they are to exercise pressure, but I believe they are invited into the reading of this letter because, like Paul says in the letter to Colossians chapter 4, Onesimus, the runaway slave who have come to faith in Christ, he's one of you. He's part of this fellowship of the faith. And how he is welcome and received has to do not only with the household of Philemon, but with the whole church. So this is not a private matter, although Philemon is the main person who needs to deal with this. But it has to do with all of you. See, we're a congregation. Paul uses a picture in 1 Corinthians 12 to help us see what the fellowship of the faith looks like. He says that we are all members of a body. And this one body has one head, which is Christ our Lord. And if one member hurts, the whole body hurts. And if one member is recognized, celebrated, the whole body rejoices with it. So this is the same idea that Paul is presenting here. Listen, church at Colossae, this has to do with all of you. And we as a church, we have gone through heavy, serious situations in the last year. And those situations are affecting not only the families that are directly impacted, but it affects every single one of us. So we gotta have this in mind, what this fellowship in Christ is. They are fellow soldiers, fellow workers. And then verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go now to read verse 4, there is a change of tone that we can see in our English. Every Jew from verse 1 to 3 is plural. He's actually addressing the whole congregation. But now he changes to a singular Jew. Now he's directly speaking to Philemon. All right? And here he says about Philemon, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have delivered much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints has been refreshed through you. That's such a beautiful description that Paul is giving us of who Philemon is. I am convinced this kind of man doesn't need pressure from the church to do what is right. But he will show the church how to live the Christian life. He will be an example for the church to follow. And that is Paul's prayer. And that is Paul's prayer based on the reality of who Philemon is already. It says here on verse 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Why, Paul? Why do you thank God always when you remember Philemon? Verse 5. Because I heard of your love. How did Paul hear of his love? How is Paul aware of the kind of man that Philemon is when he's not in Colossae, when he's in prison in some other place? Who was there with Paul to tell him about the kind of man Philemon is? Well, one person we know for sure is Onesimus, the runaway slave, who coming to believing in Christ and being there with Paul is giving a report of the kind of man his master is. And it's that master that is described here who Onesimus ran from. Now, in the letter, verse 23 also mentioned Epaphras, which is the person I mentioned earlier in the introduction, who is the founder, one of the men used by God to take the gospel to Colossae. He is where Paul is in prison. So Paul is getting a report from Onesimus, the slave that ran away and have come to faith in Christ, and he's getting a report from Epaphras, a fellow worker. Fellow worker with Paul, and fellow worker with Philemon. And this is the report he's getting. This is the kind of man Philemon is. Your love and faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints have come to my attention. You are a man with a great reputation. You love the saints. All the saints. See right there? At the end of verse 5. All the saints. Of whom, he doesn't know it yet, but of whom one of his runaway slaves is now part of. Now he's one of those saints that he's being called to continue doing what he's already doing, to love on him. He doesn't know it yet. Now, verse 6 says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Now, I believe this is one of the most important sentences, one of the most important verses on this letter. Not only because Paul is praying for something, but because of what Paul is praying. Now, until this study, I didn't really understand what Paul was praying for. My understanding, as hearing this verse quoted many times, I thought Paul was praying that the sharing of your faith may become effective for full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. When I hear sharing, I think of speaking, sharing with others, right? Is he talking about evangelism? When we go out knocking doors and share our faith? No. If you have a different Bible than the ESV, you will see that that word sharing there is translated fellowship, partnership, or participation. So it's not sharing like we will think when we go to evangelize that we share the gospel, but it's actually talking about an active participation in the faith. In other words, this word here is the word that we know as koinonia. It's the word that Bobby was explaining to us a couple of Sundays back. It's the word that we normally translate as fellowship. Now, the problem with the word fellowship in English is that we, I don't want to say you, I'm talking in general, we have watered it down. We think of fellowship and we think of third Sunday of the month when we set up the tables, and we have a meal together. Many times we think of fellowship, and we think of Friday night when we go and play games in one of the brother's house. And the word fellowship, it does mean having this thing in common. Apostle Peter, John, and James, they had a fellowship. We read that in the book of Luke. So that they have a fellowship. They had a business fellowship. They had one thing in common, which was fishing. And together, they established a partnership with a purpose to catch fish. Many of us have seek out a partnership, a fellowship with someone else in a business venture, right? But in our Bibles, in the Christian context, when the word koinonia, when the word fellowship is used, partnership, it's not talking about the definition that is found on the Greek dictionary of the word koinonia. It's talking about the reality that is found in our union through the gospel in Christ Jesus. It means much more. We see the first use of that word in Acts 2:42. You want to go there? We're going to read a couple of those verses. Feel free. If not, you can listen. It says, and they devoted, those who were being saved and added to the church, those who were hearing the message of the gospel preached and believed in it and were added to the church, those they devoted, they gave over, they dedicated themselves to the apostle teaching and the fellowship. The fellowship. To the breaking of bread and prayer. Listen. The apostles' teaching and the fellowship, comma. To the breaking of the fellowship of the believer is something different from the breaking of bread, which is making reference or allusion to the Lord's Supper, and is something different to the sitting and listening, the teaching of the apostles. So what is it? That's what we need to figure out. Acts 2:43 says, and we came upon every soul, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. You see that right there? At the end of verse 44. It says they had all things in common. In common, in partnership, in fellowship. Now, how does fellowship display itself? How does this partnership interact? How does this live among those members of the one body of Christ? They had need. There were some among them that had need. There were others among them that had things they could sell. And the proceeds were given to supply the needs of those who had needs. So we go back to Philemon. And we read, I pray that the sharing of your faith, that your active participation, that your fellowship, that your partnership in the faith with whom? With all other believers, may become effective, may have power in your life to cause what is supposed to cause. For the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So that Christ may be glorified. by your active participation in your union with Christ and every other single believer that is united to Him. You, Philemon, and you, believer, has a partnership that is not to be passive, but is to be active. It's supposed to cost you something. It's supposed to cost us something to be part of this fellowship, because you are part of this fellowship because it costs greatly to someone else. And that someone else is the King, Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, the head of this body. And He paid a great price so that you could be part of Him, of His partnership, so that you can have life in Him and be part of this great body that is called the church. And you ought to look to other believers in that light, because they have a partnership. They have a fellowship. They have an active participation with the one you love, with the one who died for you, who also died for them. So Philemon, this is my prayer for you. So what are we to think? That Philemon has not been doing that? To the contrary. To the contrary. Verse 7, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the heart of the saints have been refreshed through you." How do you, Christian who has a fellowship with Christ, Christian who is called to have an active participation in the faith, in the community of faith, how do you encourage the hearts of other believers? And are you called to seek to do that? Or are you okay with being passive, with sitting down, and just be content of being part of this communion? We ought to seek out. We ought to seek out how to do that. Because Philemon is actively doing that. And because of his active participation in the faith, in the communion of the faith, that church in Colossae, their hearts of the saints were refreshed. Their faith was encouraged. Their love was stirred up. Let's read 5 and 7 without 6. Paul is describing Philemon. It says, "Because I hear of your love and your faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints." Philemon is actively loving this community of the faith. And Paul hears about it. "I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." First of all, how is Philemon Paul's brother? because they're part of this active participation through faith in Christ Jesus. They are members of the same fellowship, same family, communion of the faith, community of the faith. They're brothers. They're fellow workers. They have a fellowship, a partnership. So this is Philemon. How is he refreshing the hearts of the saints? And how are you? How am I refreshing the hearts of the saints? Does anyone have an idea how we can do that? Excuse me? Being here. When do we hear that? Right? Being here, being present, being active. Being active in one another's life. Oh, that's the call we got. Didn't we? Not to neglect our participation in this community. To be so active in one another's life that when one is found with a hard and unbelieving heart, you know and you have the burden to come alongside and encourage them and stir them up unto good works. Being here, seeking to know the condition of one another, actively being part of this community, supplying financial needs, yes, we saw that in Act 2. But spiritual needs, encouragement, rebuke, coming alongside, helping one another, praying for one another, not neglecting, coming together in prayer. And I'm not referring only on Wednesday night, but coming together and pray for one another. So how was Philemon refreshing the hearts of the saints in Colossae? Doing exactly that. He had a house, he opened it up. Church, you can meet here. He encouraged their love for one another. He encouraged their faith for one another. He prayed for them. How can you say that, Diego? Well, Paul says that he is sure that through the prayers of Philemon, he will be set free. He will be given to Philemon. So Paul knew that Philemon was a man of prayer and intercession for the saints. Okay? So Paul, if Philemon is this kind of man, why are you praying for him, verse 6, that the active participation of Philemon in the faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ? Because what is coming next, chapter verse 8 and on, is going to be a trial for Philemon. When the effective or the effectiveness of the fellowship of believers is seen more clearly. When everything is good, or when difficult situations arise. So Paul is presenting Philemon with a difficult situation. He is going to have to consider his servant Onesimus. And Paul is praying that the realities of the active participation in the life of Philemon through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will give him the grace and the power to discern what is the good thing to do and to do it for the sake of Christ and for the good of the church. So, verse 8. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Ah, there is something that is required of Philemon. There is something that our active participation, our fellowship with Christ requires of us. So how is Philemon to do what is required? Well, one way that Paul says he's not going to do it is by commanding him to do what he ought to do. Paul is not going to exercise his authority as an apostle of Christ Jesus, the King, to tell Philemon what he has to do. Instead, Paul says, verse 9, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I appeal to you for love's sake. There is a greater force working here, greater than a command. It is the law of Christ. Love, the love of the fellowship of the believers in Christ is a work here. It's already at work, actively at work in the life of Philemon. Verse 5, your love. Verse 7, your love, my brother, is the cause, is the fuel that it refreshes the heart of the saints. And it is to this love that I am appealing, not commanding. 9. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. Notice that this is the second time Paul mentions he is in prison. Philemon is being called to do something for the sake of his union in Christ, or for the sake of his union with Christ, that is going to be difficult. And Paul is graciously reminding him that he himself is also going through a difficult situation for the sake of his love and his union, active participation with Christ. Paul is in prison. That's what his active participation calls of him right now. Philemon is not in prison, but Philemon has an active participation, a fellowship with Christ that requires him to do something. So, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you, second time, an appeal. So, listen, however we read what follows, We have to read it in that tone. Paul may say something that may sound to us that he's giving a command, but he is telling us and Philemon that he's not going to do that. So the tone that we need to read what follows has to be with the tone of an appeal. Right? I appeal to you for my child, whose father I became in my imprisonment, Onesimus. That's how he reads in the original. He puts Onesimus' name last in that sentence. He first set forward that he's speaking about someone that has a union, a participation with Christ. He's speaking about someone that is a fellow member of the fellowship of believers. And that has to change everything in the way Philemon received this. So he's setting it forward. My child, whose father I became in my imprisonment. He's talking about the spiritual realities. The same spiritual realities that allow Paul to call Philemon my brother. This is a family matter. It's not longer master-slave relationship. It's a brother relationship. It's siblings in Christ. It's members of the active participation in Christ, of the fellowship of the faith. Formerly, he was useless to you. But now, Philemon, now there has been a change. This guy standing before you that you know as Onesimus, the useless slave, is not the same man. Now, he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Hear the tone. The love. My beloved fellow worker. My brother. Paul talks to Philemon with love. And he's talking about Onesimus with the same tenderness, with the same love. You and him are both my child. You and him and I, we have koinonia in the faith. We are fellow members of Christ. He's my heart. He's my heart. Receive him. Listen, he's my heart. He has changed. He's not the same you knew. I will have been glad to keep him with me. He's so useful that I wanted to keep him with me. He's such a member of this fellowship, of this active participation, that him being here with me is an encouragement, it's a refreshing to my chains. It brings joy to me. This is the kind of man I'm sending back to you. He has changed. He has fellowship with Christ. And that changed everything. Amen. 13. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he may serve me on your behalf. Philemon, I know the man you are. I know that you love the fellowship of the brother. I know that you'll be here, you'll be serving me just as you're serving in Colossae, but you're not here. Guess what? Your slave, who now is member of this fellowship, He's been serving me here on your behalf faithfully. Faithfully. He's been serving me in your behalf during my imprisonment of the gospel. I'm in chains, and yet this useless that now is useful has been refreshing to my soul. 14 makes echo to verse 8. I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness, literally, the good things that we read on verse 6, that Paul pray for Philemon. I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that the good things, your goodness, may not be by compulsion, but of your own accord, that it will flow out of your love for Christ. And look at this. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while. Perhaps, sovereignty of God. Don't overlook that God is at work here, Philemon. You had a slave in your home where the church meet, with a master that was loving, kind, that heard the word of God preach, who left, who run away, and in God's providence came to me to hear the same good news that you are sharing at your home and believe them and enter the fellowship. Perhaps the sovereignty of God, the providence of God at work is why he parted from you for a while, that you may have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, a beloved brother, a member of the koinonia, a member of the active participation of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 17. So if you consider me a fellow, a partner, a member of this fellowship, receive him as you will receive me. One more time, he does it. One more time, he set forward Philemon, Onesimus, standing before you, is not the slave that he was before. When you look at him, you ought to see me. He is my child. You welcome him. You receive him as you will receive me. What does that sound like? It sounds like the call that all Christians have towards one another. You gave me water when I was thirsty. You gave me food when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visit me in my imprisonment, in my sickness. Lord, when do we do that? As much as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Philemon, Onesimus is your brother in Christ Jesus, a member of this fellowship. He has sinned against you. Yes. He's back showing repentance. welcome him as you will welcome me. Paul is not saying that there is not a wrong that was done and that let it be. No. Paul says, verse 18, if he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hands. I will repay it. To say nothing of you owing me your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Keep doing what you have been doing. Refresh the heart of the saints. Paul acknowledged that Onesimus has a debt. And he's asking Philemon to welcome him. And to take the suffering of that debt. He will pay it. Do you see the gospel there? Do you see how we are to relate to one another? Christian, when a fellow member of the fellowship sins against you, and he come broken and repentant, asking for forgiveness. What is required of you? Verse 21 says, I'm confident of your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul, obedience? What are you talking about? You just said you were not going to give any commands. That you were going to make an appeal. Twice you say you were appealing to me. What do you mean obedient? Oh, yeah, Paul didn't make any commandments. He just reminded Philemon of who he is. And whom he belongs to. And what his master, in the news of the gospel, of the faith that he has, requires of him. We don't need to go too far. Stay there in Colossians. The same city, the same letter, the same church. What did Paul tell them on Colossians 3:13? Bearing with one another, and if one has complained against another, forgiving each other. Why? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive one another. We have a duty before him who called us to fellowship with him. He paid a great price so that we can be members of this partnership, of this glorious fellowship. And we are not to look to other members of that fellowship without seeing the sacrifice of our Lord, our King Jesus, our Savior, to give you and you and me a place in this partnership, a place in this fellowship, in this active participation of this great faith. So please, I beg you, as I beg the Lord for me, May the Lord help us to understand the depths of the calling and the responsibilities that are required of us as members of this great fellowship and as members of this local body of believers. Oh, Father. Father, Paul finishes this letter with the words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Father, that's exactly what we need. This is a calling too high for us, Lord. We need your grace. We need your power. We need your spirit to work in us so that we will have a proper active participation in this great fellowship in Christ Jesus. Amen.